brief on this, but I'm entirely satisfied with ministers to that appropriately on the amount of information they were given, which was extremely.
So you say, who prompted it? Was it you thinking that we need another inquiry? Was it?
Well, in the course of yesterday, I was obviously running around. Cosgrove and I spoke late in the day. He indicated to me that he felt that it was more than a case for physicians healing themselves with respect to State Services Commission and Department of Labour under this whole affair, and that he would welcome that. And I agree with him that that could be useful. We'll discuss it with colleagues today. We spent quite a lot of time discussing it.
Is that because you think an internal review is warranted the confidence of the public?
That's correct. That's correct. But also, it's fair to say that the confidence of the cabinet has been somewhat shattered. The things that obviously have never come to our attention. I've been put in the position, for example, as Prime Minister, of having someone as acting head of my department subject of the investigation with respect to integrity issues. Now, this just isn't satisfactory. And so we feel that to satisfy ourselves going forward, that there are processes of integrity, we need to call for the Auditor General, and we need to do that also because we think the public has the right to know precisely.
Do you think there'd be more casualties, Prime Minister? Do you think there'd be more heads to roll, more casualties out of some kind of inquiry?
That's impossible for me to say. All I can say is that I've been constantly blindsided over about the past 19 days on this issue.
Just going back to what you said earlier about issues of integrity and having someone working in the office with those issues, does that imply that this inquiry would look at Marianne Thompson's employment in the immigration service and whether or not any appropriate checks were done? Or would it even go back further to her employment in your office?
The Auditor General will need to determine the terms of reference. You'll want to be careful not to come across a police investigation. And while there's things I'd like to say about what I consider has probably happened, I don't think that would be wise given the police investigation.
Are you saying that there are things that you picked up that she may have been responsible for that you're now concerned about?
No, it's not that. It's simply, I think, that the qualification having been represented as it was at a very early stage, that led to a sailing through a career in the public service on a basis of trust, which wasn't justified.
Do your concerns extend to the State Services Commission, or are you mainly concerned about the immigration?
Well, obviously, I've been very surprised at the revelation that concerns about the PhD were drawn to the previous State Services Commission's attention.
Did you ever get to the bottom of that yet, though, whether Michael Wintringham knew or didn't know, or what he actually knew at all? Do you know what he knew?
What I understand is that this matter came to light in the course of Ms. Thompson being acting chief executive of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet and applying for the job of chief executive. At that point, the personnel consultants who are employed to advise the State Services Commission apparently interviewed Ms. Thompson, and they then developed doubts, which were reported to the State Services Commission, who confronted Ms. Thompson, who absolutely denied the matter, and for reasons that are clear to me, Mr. Wintringham didn't take the matter any further with this minister, certainly not with me.
What was your understanding of whether or not she had a PhD? I mean, did you think she had a PhD? Did you?
I always assumed that because the title was given as Dr. Marianne Thompson.
So she was using that title, Doctor, while she was working in DPMC?
That's certainly my recollection.
Do your concerns, and will the inquiry extend to the inability of the Security Intelligence Service to pick this up as well?
Well, as you know, it's not my practice to comment on security matters, but I don't believe it's the job of the Security Intelligence Service to undertake the most basic check and of the authenticity of the qualification. That should be done by the employing body. Perfectly plain to me. That was never done as this career proceeded through public service. Now, from now on, I think you can assume that in vetting checks, the vetting should specifically ask a question, which one is amazed one has to ask, but clearly one does, which is, has the department established the authenticity of claimed qualifications?
You say that the inquiry is looking at the integrity of decision making in the Immigration Service with a particular reference to the Pacific Division. I mean, obviously she headed much more than the Pacific Division. Can you just explain, does that mean that you've heard something that may raise concerns about elsewhere in immigration, or is it just a precaution?
Well, the initial detail which has led to this all coming in the public arena, of course, relates to the Pacific Division. It relates to Ms. Thompson being prepared to have a role in applications from family members coming forward. And then the matter goes to how it's dealt with. But then what has further come to light is the level of incidents involving members of the Pacific Division. But it's not the wish of Cabinet to unduly restrict the Auditor General. The Auditor General feels he needs to go wider than the Pacific Division to the International Division, which it is a solid set. Then he should feel free to do that.
Do you think in hindsight that Mr. Cunliffe and Mr. Cosgrove should have done more when they were briefed about the report last year?
Well, the problem was that they were told that an issue had been arisen, and they were told that there'd been obviously an independent look at that, and the result of that was someone had been cautioned and others had been dealt with. They were told, in effect, that these were employment issues which were quite narrowly confined, which chief executives had dealt with. So I think that ministers are put in a very difficult position in areas like this. The ministers can't run operational matters. The question is whether they were given adequate.
And yet it was seen that the issue of the head of immigration, if you like, being involved in the magnet of does go to the heart of confidence.
Of course it does.
And that is a minister.
The ministers never saw the Alton report at all. They only saw that at the point that it went out under an official information act request.
So what's happened to the no surprises policy here? One would
assume. A very good question.
Would you prefer to expand
that? That's a good
very good question.
Jerry Brownlee said in a statement today, Prime Minister, that your claim that you hadn't been told about issues relating to Marianne Thompson's CV in light of the revelations from Mr. Wintringham are difficult to believe, given the fact that this woman was actually applying for the position of Chief Executive of your department. And suddenly she's not applying. Now, can you sort of think back to that time? Did it surprise you she didn't get that job?
No, it didn't. But then she withdrew her application. And there was certainly never any indication to me that there was an issue of qualification. I had never heard this matter until just before it became public, which was the weekend before the case.
Do you recall the
service with Mr. Winfrey? I've never heard of that until it became public.
In your discussions with Heather Simpson over the past week, was Heather Simpson briefed by Mr. Winfrey?
Never.
Do you recall whether you knew why she'd withdrawn or whether you asked about why she'd withdrawn?
Not especially, no. Sometimes people who are deputies don't go through to applying for the top job. We've just been through a process of appointing a new cabinet secretary. there were two deputy cabinet secretaries, one applied, one didn't. You simply take it that that's a personal decision of an individual.
Do you know if Mr. Whitfrindham ever told James to be older than that?
I haven't asked that question specifically clear, but my impression would be that he would not have, because Mr. Woodrum would have gone from the State Services Commission at that time. Well, the idea of the Auditor General's inquiry is to ensure that going forward that we can have confidence, and I think what's very unfortunate about an episode like this is that the immigration service will be populated by decent, honest, hard-working public service. And it is devastating for them when the integrity of all is called into question because of a dishonest people.
Minister, can you say whether the RSE specifically in or out of this priority report?
That's entirely a matter for the Auditor General. I must stress we are putting now the general issue him, and we must now stand back and let him go with his terms of inquiry and let his inquiry take him where it must be.
And when you were outlining what you wanted the Auditor General to cover, you said interaction between the State Services Commission and Department of Labor. What's interaction?
Well, we need to know, for example, to what extent the SSC of the law is consulted about the outcome of the Alton report and how that should have been handled. We'd be interested to know, for example, whether the Butler Finley report, which I've never heard of, was ever discussed with SSC. In other words, I think what it's calling into question is to what extent the State Services Commission has oversight of the integrity of ministerial integration in our government departments. Well, I think you could look at the range of polls and draw the conclusion for yourself.
So you think that perhaps the debate is national?
That would be the evidence from looking at the range of other polls.
What's Labour's own poll that shows?
Well, I've indicated today that the Insight poll, which is quite often published, taken over at virtually exactly the same time period as the Fairfax one. Fairfax 7th to 13th, Insight 8th to 13th. There was a variation of 11 points between the two. The Insight one has been rather conservative in estimating Labour support. I've said in the past on the public record that I thought the last election campaign of the Insight poll telling me I was going to lose. So, you know, that is a conservative poll as far as we're concerned. But even that, at the same time period, reported a very different result.
So your own poll is showing you what 18 points behind?
Well, I'm not saying it's, quote, our own poll, but our commercial polling organisation. But no, the 35 taken away from 51 is in 18.
Do you think things are getting worse in terms of public opinion? And why do you think that is?
Well, that's not the feedback we're getting on the ground. It's perfectly obvious that this year is a tough challenge. It's always been a tough challenge. It's made a particularly tough challenge because you have international slowdown. You have the fallout from the subprime crisis in the United States, which has impacted on mortgage rates here without the Reserve Bank lifting an opinion. You have an international food crisis. You have spike in oil prices. None of these things, in any sense, the fault of the New Zealand government. And the question is, who's got the skills and experience to manage through them? On top of those things, we've had a widespread drought, nor is that the fault of the New Zealand government. But it's our responsibility to manage through in a responsible and far-sighted way. That's what we're applying our best efforts to do.
Do you regret not giving a program of tax cuts starting in 2005 when you're back now?
I think we've always acted in what we have believed the best interests of New Zealand to be, in wanting to make sure we have proper investment in the basics which Kiwis really do care about, and condemned government that tries to shortchange health and education and superannuation and law and order. Soon hears about it from the Kiwi public. So we've made those things apply.
John keeps talking about $45 to $50 in tax cuts for someone on $45,000 to $50,000 a year. That's going to look pretty attractive, isn't it? People struggling to pay their bills at the moment.
Very hard to know what he's talking about, because there seems to be a completely different story told to the Normal Post as against that told to TV3 this morning.
Well, he's saying that the NPN program is going to be roughly the size it was last time. That's what he's told many of us today, which was $45 to $50 on wage. I'm just wondering.
I hope you're adding it all up. I hope you're adding up everything the government currently does. Big talk about huge extra investment in infrastructure, which, given the rate that we're investing in infrastructure, can only result in the price of everything we pay for, plus a determination to outspend labour on tax cuts, whatever we say. I hope you're adding it up and calculating what it means for people's mortgage rates, interest rates, and their business economy.
Are you worried that you may have to rely on both New Zealand First and the Greens to get through the emissions trading scheme? And if so, do you think you'll be able to gel with what are quite competing views from both of those parties in that scheme?
The emissions trading scheme bill is frankly business as usual. You would never want to rely on the National Party for anything to do with climate change. In the course of about 18 months, we've seen Mr. Key go from being a climate change denier, then realising the public was worried and wanting to appear dispassionate on the issue, and then given the first excuse from the big emitters, he's quite happy to run for cover and pass the cost back to the Kiwi taxpayer, and that cost could be hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's never been our view that the National Party could be reliant. Now, business as usual means that, as with any legislation, that minority government, which has been for 8.5 years, brings in the parliament, we negotiate bill by bill where we can find consensus. That's precisely the process that is going on.
Have you got any particular parties in mind, though, to build that consensus?
Well, we're obviously talking with a range of parties.
Has the government given any full consideration to compensating households for the rising costs involved in the emissions trading scheme?
Well, as you know, we took the view a couple of weeks ago that the spike in oil prices was right now doing the job the emissions trading scheme would have done next year, and so we made the decision to delay on that, which I think is broadly welcome. Secondly, we made it clear that there would be support for bond with consumers on the electricity issue, and the form of that yet we've
turned. Is there more? Would that, are you considering other measures in addition to electricity?
Well, those are the two matters.
Prime Minister, can we please just return to the Kevin Brady investigation? The three investigations you referred to as existing, presumably the police investigation, obviously will continue. Will the investigation of the State Services Commission and the Department of Labour continue while Mr. Brady is making his inquiries?
Well, as you say, the police investigation continues independently. Secondly, I'm sure the State Services Commission will want to complete the work they're doing, unless they take the view that that's superseded by the Auditor General's inquiry, and they would wish to talk to them about that. Thirdly, with respect to the Department of Labor's own review, which they have called in independent people to help them with, I do think they need to be actively thinking about how they deal with the problems which have arisen in the Pacific Division. Again, they may want to check with the Auditor General to what extent they should proceed with an operation of whether to do that while he undertakes his book inquiry.
Mr. Wintringham is currently working with Mr. David Elton at the Remuneration Authority. I'm presuming that Mr. Brady will have the authority to look at what Mr. Wintringham is actually doing in the state sector at the moment. Would you envisage that as being part of the inquiry in terms of...
I can't really see the relevance of that, but can I say the Auditor General is free to inquire where he wishes. I'm not writing his terms of reference. I'm inviting him to take him involved.
Is it business as usual, meanwhile, in the postal services is continuing to process residences and visas, or would you expect?
I certainly hope so.
Including the Pacific Division?
Well, people are entitled to apply for consideration under a range of programs, and I'm sure that there'll be a particular focus on getting the right in the Pacific Division for money.
Are you planning any checks on people employed in your office now in the wake of what's happened? Of their qualifications,
I mean. I haven't given that consideration.
Or in the caucus?
A caucus? Okay.